In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee, and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Your devout attention is directed to the reading of the Passion History of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as this has been compiled according to the four evangelists. The fifth scripture lesson. And the whole multitude of them arose and bound Jesus, and led him away from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself, and burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And the chief priests took the silver pieces, and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel, and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And the Jews themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And they, the chief priests and elders, began to accuse him of many things, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus stood before him and answered, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. Hearest thou not? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Here endeth the fifth scripture lesson. Let us now sing hymn 144.
Thank you.
The sixth scripture lesson. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now at the feast the governor must of necessity release unto the people a prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in a certain sedition made in the city. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire Pilate to do as he had ever done unto them. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ, the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded and moved the people that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Here endeth the sixth scripture lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, and reads as follows. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, as the Lord Jesus was presented before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, he certainly did not appear to be a king, or not one with much of any power. But the man standing before Pilate in great humility was indeed a great king, the King of kings and Lord of lords, as St. Paul says in our text, God himself. As true God, he is certainly a king. The Bible talks about a threefold kingdom over which Christ rules, kingdom of power, kingdom of grace, kingdom of glory, that he rules over all creation with his power. That's what we refer to as his kingdom of power. That he rules over the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, rules in the hearts of the believers here on earth. That's what we call his kingdom of grace. And that he rules in heaven. That's what we call his kingdom of glory, ruling over his exalted saints in heavenly glory. In our text for this evening, taken from St. Paul's first epistle or letter to the young pastor Timothy, the apostle declares Jesus to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, since he is true God. And he also refers to the good testimony that Jesus gave before Pilate, referring to it as a good confession. Let this then be our meditation this evening, how Christ is a king, as he also testified before Pilate. We shall see in the first place that Jesus testified of his kingly office before Pontius Pilate, and then secondly, how Jesus will be revealed as the great king on the last day. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. If you have your Bibles open to where our text for this evening is found and look at the verse that comes just before it, in verse 12, you'll see that the Apostle Paul refers to a confession made by Timothy, confessing his faith. And Paul says there that Timothy had professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then he transitions in the first verse of our text to speak about a confession that the Lord Jesus made before Pilate, the Roman governor to whom the Jews had brought him, demanding that he be sentenced to death. As we heard in the Passion History reading earlier in the service, for much of his time before Pilate, Jesus said nothing. But when Pilate specifically questioned him about being a king, Jesus did speak. We read in the Gospel according to St. John, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The Jews had told Pilate that Jesus was stirring up the people, inciting rebellion against the Romans. They accused him of forbidding the payment of taxes to the Roman government, and they said that Jesus was setting himself up as a king, as in a rival to Caesar, an earthly king. Now, Pilate clearly thought that that was strange, and that even if it were true, it would be very strange that the Jews would deliver their king over to Pilate, especially knowing how much the Jews resented being under the control of the Romans and how they were looking forward to a king that would deliver them from that. So, Pilate questioned Jesus, and Jesus testified clearly that he is indeed a king, just not an earthly one. He says, My kingdom is not from hence, which means it's not from here, it's not from this earth. His holy Christian church, the communion of saints, is on earth. You and I as Christians are a part of that kingdom. But it's still not of this earth. It's not of this world. It's not a worldly kingdom. It does not deal with worldly affairs. It does not advance politics. And membership in Christ's kingdom has nothing to do with nationality, class, or social standing. No outward considerations. No nation borders. It all has to do with what's in the heart. What distinguishes a person from being a member of Christ's kingdom of grace, as opposed to someone who is not, is the presence or absence of saving faith. A hypocrite, one who professes to be a Christian but inwardly is an unbeliever, is certainly not a member of Christ's kingdom of grace. Even if he's successful fooling all of the other people in his congregation, he cannot fool God. The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, this kingdom of grace over which Christ rules, is ruled by him with his grace through the gospel. The gospel is what fills our hearts with love for the Lord, what strengthens and builds up our saving faith, which gives us the power and the desire also to follow his holy law in our lives. That's what we do as servants in the kingdom of Christ. Jesus told Pilate that he had no need to worry about the servants of Jesus fighting to deliver him from the Jews. That's what would happen in an earthly kingdom, but that's not what happens in Christ's spiritual kingdom. You and I fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. The kingdom of Christ does not engage in worldly warfare. Jesus' testimony before Pilate, the man who would sentence him to death, was fearless, truthful, clear, exact. Thus, a model of perfect testimony and confession, one that we should follow in our lives when we're called upon to testify of our own Christianity. And we show ourselves to be the followers of Christ, acknowledging him as our King. We show ourselves to be members of his kingdom of grace when we do make such proper Christian confession. And when we live our lives in accordance with God's commandments. The Apostle Paul mentions both of these things in his letter to Timothy in our text, where he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both the expressions without spot and unrebukable make the same point, that we're to be living our lives in such a way that we're not giving offense, disgracing our calling as Christians, living in gross outward sins, which would undermine whatever confession of faith might come out of our mouth. The phrase, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, points us forward to the glorious return of the Savior on the last day. And it is on that day that Jesus will be revealed before all the world to be the Almighty King of all creation. The Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And again, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We look forward to that triumphant return of Christ. We look forward to the end of the world, because that will mark the time of the end of all suffering in this earthly life of sin, when we Christians will be delivered from this veil of tears, taken into heaven for all eternity. But when that will happen exactly, we do not know. God has chosen not to reveal that to us. He has told us about various signs that will take place in the world around us that are to remind us that the end of all things is near. One of those signs is that opposition to Christ and His Word will grow more and more intense. The love of many will wax cold. Sin will abound as we get closer to the last day. To protect us from being drawn away and trapped and destroyed by the sins and unbelief in the world around us, the Lord has given us His powerful Word to help us and build us up in our saving faith, also to increase our love for God and for our neighbor, so that we're strengthened in our desire to follow the Lord and His commandments in our lives, to follow His Word, even if everyone else in the world around us turns against God, turns against us. And sadly, the vast majority of people in this world are the enemies of Christ and enemies of His faithful followers. Aligning ourselves with them, with the sinful world, those that have power on earth, might seem to be the prudent thing to do from a political point of view or from the perspective of earthly prosperity. But that would mean aligning ourselves against the Lord God, the King of all creation. Our glorious Lord and Savior, the greatest King imaginable, is described in the last two verses of our text like this: which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, which means powerful ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. As a spirit, God has no physical form to be seen. But the real point here is that if God would appear in all of His glory, no one could stand that sight. God has taken some visible form at different times. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, of course, was manifest in the flesh. In the Old Testament, a cloud of God's glory filled the tabernacle and the temple. But all of those were ways of viewing God in diminished glory, not in the fullness of His glory, which again would be way too intense. Now this almighty potentate, this King of kings and Lord of lords, certainly does not need us to do anything for Him that He cannot do for Himself. But that does not change the fact that God does require that we serve Him and thus honor Him with our lives. Since He is the greatest King, the King of the whole universe, We certainly owe him our humble submission and obedience. But more than that, he's our gracious Savior from sin. Through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, he saved us. He paid the penalty of our guilt in our place. Thus we owe him our love and gratitude, cheerful submission, grateful obedience, zealous, energetic service. The Bible says, Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And again, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Yes, even though Christ our King is the Almighty God of heaven and earth, yet he so graciously and mercifully came into this world, not to be served by us, but actually to serve us, and to lay down his life as a ransom for our redemption. Jesus, referring to this very thing, told his disciples concerning himself, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto," which means not to be served, "but to minister." He came to do the serving, "and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord Jesus, our gracious King, took our place under God's law, kept the law of God perfectly for us, and suffered the punishment that we deserve by our sins, even the torments of hell, when he suffered and died on the cross. St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And in his first epistle, the Apostle Peter writes, "Christ his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." That is the glorious gospel of salvation, which we trust in, which we hold to in faith. That's the truth of God's love for sinful mankind that Christ came into this world to demonstrate in his perfect life and innocent death on the cross. And though he is, as St. Paul describes in our text, unapproachable in the fullness of his glory as God, yet he so graciously approaches us most lovingly in his word, and desires that all people hear his word and heed it. In his confession before Pilate, Jesus told the Roman governor that everyone who is of the truth hears his voice. And that certainly does not mean just hearing with the ears and then ignoring with the heart. Nor does it mean simply hearing with the ears and then failing to actually follow and do what the Word of God says. The Holy Ghost, through the pen of the Apostle James, tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So then, if anyone plainly states that he does not want to follow the voice of Christ, well, he clearly shows he's not a member of Christ's kingdom of grace. Jesus told the unbelieving Jews, "If I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." The Jews were blessed above all the nations of the earth to have the word of God in the Old Testament scriptures. And they were blessed to have the Messiah, the Son of God himself, preaching among them for 3 years. But they rejected his words. You and I are exceptionally blessed to be members of a Christian congregation where the Word of God is taught regularly and consistently in its full truth and purity. May we never turn away from the voice of our Savior. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, was also blessed to have the opportunity to speak with the Lord Jesus. But sadly, after Jesus identified himself as the King sent from heaven who bears witness to the truth, Pilate simply dismissed his words, saying, "What is truth?" And is that not the common response that we often hear from the children of this world? When we testify of the truth, when we testify of our faith, when we cite the scriptures, and they simply blow it off and say things like, well, that's the truth in your opinion, that's not my truth. May God keep us from ever following that attitude of Pilate and either questioning the existence of absolute truth or denying the truth of God's word when it is presented before us on the pages of Holy Scripture. By the power of the Holy Ghost, through His word, we Christians have been brought into Christ's church, His kingdom of grace here on earth. And we have been made heirs of another kingdom, that kingdom of glory that awaits us in heaven. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ not only purchased for us a loving relationship with the Lord here on earth, but it gave us that inheritance of eternal life in heaven. So we look forward to entering into that kingdom of glory, where we shall live forever in total happiness and bliss, praising our God and King with endless songs of joy. So let us be ever thankful that God has brought us into His saving kingdom of grace here on earth, which will transition us into the kingdom of glory in heaven. And let us therefore live in the grateful service of Him who is, as our text says, the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light where no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, and who, of His infinite grace and mercy, laid down His life for our salvation. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord Jesus Christ, thou great physician of our souls, we adore thy love and praise thy compassion for us poor lost sinners, who because of our sinfulness, even from our mother's womb, deserve nothing but thy wrath and displeasure, death and damnation. We praise thee for thy bonds and stripes, thy crown of thorns and painful cross, thy bitter agony and death, in that thou who knewest no sin wast made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in thee. May our meditation on thy holy passion give us an abiding sense of our own unworthiness and of thy surpassing grace, that being distressed by our sins, we may be comforted by thy merit. O Christ, thou patient Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, do not forsake us in whatever adversity and distress may come upon us in this world. And as thou hast loved us, even so may we, withdrawing our affection away from the world and from all worldly pleasures, love thee above all things, and gladly tell others about thee and thy wondrous love for us and for all mankind. As by our sins, O patient Savior, we have made thee to suffer extreme agony of body and soul, pardon our transgressions, and strengthen us by thy grace in every conflict and temptation, that we henceforth may earnestly strive to sin no more. By thine example, help us to be patient with all our fellow men, even our enemies, for whom thou didst shed thy blood, and not to return evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, doing good even to those that hate us, and remembering those in our prayers who have turned themselves against us. Dear Lord Jesus, how great was thy humiliation for us, how distressing thine agony, how painful thy stripes and wounds, how heavy were the sins of the world as they lay upon thee, how great and how crushing was the burden of our iniquities which pressed thee down and brought thee unspeakable suffering and death upon the cross. In heartfelt sorrow and repentance we cry to thee, O Jesus, have mercy upon us poor miserable sinners. May thy wounds and stripes, thy deep disgrace, thy thorn-crowned head stand out so plainly before our souls that we never forget our sins, nor lose sight of thy great mercy. We would have been forever lost on account of our sins if thou hadst not had mercy upon us. We know of no other refuge, hope, or help but in thee. Grant that looking to thee, the author and finisher of our faith, all of us may run with patience the race that is set before us in this life, patiently enduring whatever suffering thou dost permit to come upon us, and hereafter, by thy boundless grace and love, obtain the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, and praise and glorify thee forever and ever. And in thy saving name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, our merciful Savior, grant, we beseech thee, that our faith may be strengthened through our meditation on thy holy passion. Fill our hearts with thy Holy Spirit, that we may with humble and contrite hearts always seek and find true and lasting comfort in thy love, and present to thee as an acceptable offering the willing service of our lives, renouncing the world about us and following thy footsteps, patiently bearing all our crosses and permitting thy word to be our guide in life and death. O thou gracious Lamb of God, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 6 of hymn 554.